It's Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
And Jason Fetty. Good morning, I'm Jason Fetty.
Are you?
Did you know that?
Still today.
I was yesterday. Actually, I haven't checked my wallet today. Could be anybody.
Hey, I'm really looking forward to Jason singing the police blotter later today.
Yes. I didn't think you were going to bring that up, actually. I thought you were going to let me get away with it. I failed. I totally failed. It's just one of those things. I mean, how many have I done, Tyler?
You've done a lot. It's just our listeners count on you on Fridays. Well, they count on you.
Small percentage are just going to fail. And I was just still recovering. I'm not making excuses. I was recovering from my sickness. And I got into it, and it took me 3 hours. And by the end of it, I had whittled it down to a toothpick.
You've got a lot of hits, and we'll play one of them today.
You're very kind to let me get off with it.
Today. Chef Alan Miller is going to be here. He does breakfast on the beach for us on some Fridays. And we're going to do a Thanksgiving menu for you. We're going to eat, and you're going to listen. It's going to be great.
The sound of us chewing. Brilliant. That's radio right there in Laguna Beach, California.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
First up in local news this morning, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom on a Friday, art student Scott Milton Brazzi knows where he will be spending the next 5 weekends. For the first time, he secured a booth at Sawdust Art Festival's Winter Fantasy, which opens tomorrow. Brazzi's passion is a portraiture of people and animals. He is one of scores of artists displaying their wares at the 25th annual Winter Fantasy, where despite a warming trend for the forecast for the weekend, Santa will indeed bundle up and hold court daily. The show continues 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. for 5 weekends, including the day after Thanksgiving through December 20th. The opening day tree lighting commences at 5:30 p.m. tomorrow. This year, Mayor Pro Tem Steve Dictero is doing the honors.
I drove by there last night, and it's all very Christmassy. It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
Wow. November 20th, Santa Claus coming to the beach.
I know. Well, you know, he needs to have a little bit of a... just to get himself going, doesn't he, before...
a head start.
It's a lot of work to do.
It is a lot of work.
So he needs to come here, come to the beach, have a little break... a breakation, if you will, at the beach, you know, and just get the smell of the ocean in his nose before he goes off. And because, you know, when you're riding on that sleigh, you know what's right in front of you, don't you?
What?
12 reindeer butts. And so, you know, he needs to get a sort of constitutional before he does that.
Every year on the show, I typically call the North Pole.
Yeah.
We have a little chat with Santa, make sure he's ready.
Oh.
So we can do that.
We weren't doing that last year together. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, we'll call Santa.
Oh, that'd be great.
We'll call him in December. He's very busy right now.
Yeah.
It calms down close to Christmas. He gets it all squared away.
I wonder if we can get him in here while he's at the Sawdust.
Maybe so.
The Winter Fantasy.
I'm sure we can. Yeah. Santa will come on the show.
Yeah, I think we should give him a call.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Let's look outside the Laguna bubble this morning.
Okay.
More Mexicans are leaving the U.S. than migrating here, reversing a long-standing flow, according to a new study. More than 1 million Mexicans and their families, including U.S.-born children, returned to Mexico from 2009 to 2014 after living in the U.S., according to the report by Pew Research Center. Meanwhile, only 870,000 Mexicans moved to the U.S. during the same time period, so that's a net loss of 140,000 people. An uneven economic recovery in the U.S. was cited as a reason behind the shift. Industries where migrants typically found work, such as construction, have not rebounded since the U.S. emerged from a recession in 2009. However, the report found the majority of Mexicans in the U.S. who returned home did so of their own accord. The most common reason cited was reuniting with family. Others cited job opportunities in Mexico.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It is really, really interesting.
And it's funny that when you use the word Mexican as well. So, no, Mexicans.
It sounds derogatory.
It sounds like we're not talking about just people from Mexico. Like they're a thing different from human beings. You know what I mean? Like They're like robots or something.
Yeah, I don't know
human.
Why. I agree. I don't know why that word. It does feel weird to say.
Isn't it funny?
It's strange.
Yeah.
It should not be that way. It's simply a nationality. Yeah. It's like saying Canadian.
It's where they're from.
Yeah, like
it's a part of the globe.
It's you're so. I've thought that for a while. It's so funny that you bring that up.
And I don't think that's a bad. I think as long as you're sort of open to the idea of that, I think that's not a bad thing. But it's funny that. Oh, these Mexicans. Well, of course, they'd like to go home,
yeah,
wouldn't they?
Right, because that's where they're from.
Because that's, yeah.
But it's interesting because there's so much fuss right now, especially, I mean, again, we're not experts on anything. We just talk. But with everything going on with Trump and immigration crises, et cetera, they're leaving. Like, we don't have to do anything. You know what I mean?
I'm sure that they'd rather. I mean, I can see why people would rather stay where they are. If there's jobs and opportunities and they can help their families. You hear stories all the time, don't you, of people coming up from Central and South America, working really hard and sending back, you know, $50 a month to their families.
It's harder and harder and harder to have the same kind of American dream that you once could have by immigrating here.
Yeah, it is. That is very true.
So I thought that was a really great story. Thank you, Jason Fetty.
Yeah.
Moving on. Jonathan Pollard, an American convicted of spying for Israel, is set to be released on parole from a North Carolina prison. The former U.S. Navy intelligence officer, now 61, was caught selling classified documents in 1985 and given a life sentence 2 years later. At the time of his arrest, Pollard said he gave classified documents to Israel because the U.S. was not passing on important information. Israel initially denied Pollard had spied for them. However, in 1996, Israel made Pollard a citizen, and 2 years later, officials admitted he was their agent. Last year, it was reported that the U.S. was considering freeing Pollard in exchange for the continuation of peace talks and significant concessions from Israel to the Palestinians. He said he wants to move to Israel to be reunited with his second wife.
Yeah, he's a former U.S. Navy intelligence analyst, is what he was. Kind of a, you know, geeky guy, really.
I was not alive when this was happening, so...
Yeah.
I missed this story.
I remember he did an interview with Wolf Blitzer. This is before Blitzer was on CNN. This is when he was at Jerusalem Post. This is how old I am.
Wow.
The Israelis wanted to leverage him. So get him out of jail. And then they said, well, we'll make peace with the Palestinians. And one of the things you guys have to do is free Jonathan Pollard. Bill Clinton said no. He wouldn't use that as a bargaining chip.
Can you do a Wolf Blitzer impression?
No.
Well,
I kind of do. We do.
I'm Wolf Blitzer.
Lousy journalist. So you know, yeah.
We do it every day. Let's do one more story. Let's finish the headline today. You ready?
Yeah.
Let me just. Here it is.
Okay.
Facebook has a new feature that lets you completely avoid.
Okay, finish the headline.
Advertising.
Ooh, that would be cool. No. Your ex.
Oh.
Facebook will let you avoid your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. Here's what it does. When you change your relationship status from in a relationship to single, which I know you use, Jason Fetty, you're very, very on top of your Facebook relationship status. Facebook will guide you through a process of showing you all the photos that you're tagged in with that person and asking you if you want to remove them. And then it'll say, do you want your post to show up on their wall? Do you want to see their post? This is stuff that I would say typically a broken up girl would do if she wanted to rid Facebook of a boy. And now Facebook does it for you. So Facebook says it's part of an ongoing effort to develop resources for people who may be going through difficult moments in their lives.
I think that's very fair of them. Very nice of them to add that little algorithm in
there.
You
like it, huh?
Yeah, why not? I haven't really suffered too badly with that in the past because, frankly, most of my ex-girlfriends, you know, it was before computers. But before cameras, you know, we never took anything. But I do have one ex-girlfriend who I blocked.
You blocked her, huh?
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to see her. I'm not interested. I don't want her commenting on my stuff.
You know, admittedly, I haven't been diligent enough about that. Because if you scroll back through my photos, you can see a whole history of girlfriends.
Yeah.
You could scroll through my profile. Just look at my profile pictures. You can see everybody I've dated in the last 5 years.
I can see that would be the case. Especially
I shouldn't do that, though. I really should use that feature.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I was never much of a photograph taker anyway. Would you do selfies and all that?
Neither one of us are, all that photogenic, really. And we know this.
That's not true.
No, it is true.
It's not true.
It is
true. Very lovely looking people, the pair of you.
Yes, I mean, we look fine, but when there's a camera in our face, Jason and I have both been in a situation where there's a camera at us and we're like, what do we do
with
our hands?
We don't like it.
No, what do we do with our mouth?
Where do we look? It's not about being photogenic. It's about just not enjoying the process. And always, if I look at a picture of myself or look at myself in the mirror, I immediately go for the thing that I don't think, the blemish, you know,
yeah.
The size of my nose.
I'm very unhappy with my hair right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
You having one of those days?
No, I'm having one of those weeks.
Well, yeah.
Months.
Are you growing it out? Are you still going to get the
bun? I don't know. I'm really unhappy with it.
Isn't the man bun sort of over? Anyway, I saw online you can just buy a man bun.
I saw that too.
Stick it on.
I think I'm just going to get one of those.
Yeah, just stick it on.
I'll get one of those maybe for Christmas.
But yeah, I never wasn't much of a fan. I think, and a lot of girls, they love taking pictures. And I'm always like, no.
Yeah.
My wife hates having a picture taken. So it's perfect for me.
You know, you see like a perfect selfie of a girl on the beach and she's like, you know, hands on her hip and her face looks perfect. It took her on average, I read this, took her on average over 90 tries
to get
that photo.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. And you go to the beach or something and you see a girl, you just see her nonstop. I mean, you're there reading a book for an hour. That's all she's done. And finally, she's got it.
She's finally got the shot and she's put it up on Facebook so that most of us can go, oh my God, you really love yourself, don't you? Why don't you just get over yourself with your Zoolander face on? Ridiculous.
Stop it, girls. Just quit it.
So silly.
Good morning. This is Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5. That's Jason Fetty.
Hello.
Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Live. Daily Scramble.
I don't know if you knew this about me, Tyler Russell, but I'm a 37-year-old British fireman.
What?
Yeah, 37-year-old British fireman. Do you know that?
I don't know. I have no idea what you're saying.
Well, there's a new story here. People magazine done a survey on the sexiest things in the world.
Okay.
Now, of course, sadly, it might be the most kind of substantive, sort of newsworthy thing that people has published this year, but at risk of helping them win a Pulitzer Prize. Here are 16 highlights, it says here.
You're going to read 16 highlights.
But I'm not going to give you 16, no, I'm not. The sexiest things. Sexiest accent.
British.
Sexiest job.
Fireman.
Sexiest age. 37. That's right. 37-year-old British fireman, that's me.
You're one-third of the way there.
Well, I'm not far off 37.
You're one-third of the way from being the sexiest thing in the universe.
That's right.
You know, you could be a volunteer fireman, and you'd be two-thirds of the way. But I wonder, the question I have is, do you have to be all three of those things, or does just one of them give you a little bit of sexy? Because if you were a fireman, I would not find you any more attractive than I find you as a radio host. But I'm wondering if that's untrue of the opposite sex.
If I was a fireman, the danger is, of course, I just let Bill, you know, if a building burns down and people die, that's not a sexy fireman, right? Family goes, I'm not going there. That is, it's very hot in there.
You're no longer getting dates.
That's terrible.
After that.
British. It's amazing to me that the British.
I know.
If you've got a British accent,
you.
So you don't feel like it very, you know, like, hey, God, I just heard myself speak. It's very, oh my goodness, I'm getting a little hot in here.
Yesterday we talked about how we find the Irish accent so strange. It's very strange, and it's been around for a long time.
Celtic, probably.
Very old.
Yeah.
But I just forget it exists. Oh, look at your little ears. I've been working on that. I've been practicing that.
It's quite sing-songy, isn't it?
Dublin.
Ah, Dublin. Yes. Lovely Dublin.
Blarney Stone.
Lovely
hey,
Dublin.
So last night we went to Trivia at Tortilla Republic.
Oh.
They do that now. They have trivia at 7 p.m. on Thursday nights here in town. And I've always gone to trivia places, as you know.
Yeah.
But I've driven a long way to go to them. I've gone to this place in Costa Mesa called Dirty Nelly's. I've gone to Beach Hut Deli in Mission Viejo. I've gone all over the place to go to trivia. So there's one in town now. And my transition here is that one of the questions was regarding the Blarney Stone, and we've been talking about it all day.
Oh, the Blarney Stone.
And I was the only one who got it.
That's very lucky.
Do you want a brief story about this trivia thing?
Yeah, go on. So, and tell us what the question was about the Blarney Stone.
Well, it was a picture round, and you had to identify
what's
stones
that?
Or rocks. Yeah, it's the Blarney Stone.
Oh, yeah. Ah, yes. There are many different accents in Ireland, but there's two main ones. Seriously.
Okay.
So Dublin, that's the one in Dublin. Very nice, like that.
Leprechaun.
And all the way down there. Yep. If you go down further south, it gets even more like that. So it does. Yes, it does. And then they say things like, don't forget your shoes and socks and your shirt and tie and everything if you're going to get a job. Tyler. Tyler. Tyler.
That's very good. Right? It
that's
really
very
is very
sunny
good.
Down there.
It's, you're very
then
good.
North, in the north of Ireland, it's very different. But in the, now let me see. Belfast. So it's hardly like that up there. It's very much like that up there in Belfast. You can't understand a word they're saying. Don't hear her. Please. That's not really, it's different. I don't know, it's just a different thing. Accents
good.
Change every 10
it's
miles
very,
in England.
Very good at it.
They change everything. I've got
freaking
a good
me out.
Musician's ear for that sort of thing.
Yeah,
probably.
You do. You're good at accents.
Not so good as American accents. I find that hard. I need some practice.
It's because your American accent is infinitely John Wayne.
That's right.
It's just a John Wayne impression.
Get your haircut, boy.
That's always what you say. That's why I have to say, look at your little ears. And you say, get your hair. There's
go
to words.
Phrase. You need to go to phrase. Yeah.
I can do a Dr. Evil impression, but only if I start the sentence with air. And then it leads me into Dr. Evil, like air Scott. But I can't, if I start it with anything else, I can't do it.
Very impressive. But that's, yeah. It's a go to sort of mouth. I've heard impressionists or impersonators say this, that they have to do a go to sort of mouth shape.
Yeah.
It's a shape of your mouth.
Yeah.
It's a very odd thing.
Borat, I have to start with hello.
Hello.
And then I can do that.
My
yeah, there's cue words.
Best prostitute. I can't do
there's no, you can't. There's cue words, certainly. I can only do Dr. Evil and Borat, though. That's it.
Right.
That's it. And a leprechaun who's concerned with the size of
somebody's
ears.
Is.
Daily Scramble Live.
That's a local band called Aloha Radio. Before that, we had Ghost Gums out of Adelaide, Australia. Australian, please.
All right, mate.
Thanks. Jason Fetty's here. This is Daily Scramble Live. So I mentioned that I've been going to this trivia place at Tortilla Republic,
yeah.
Right? So we went mm-hmm. last night. We did not win. We went for a double or nothing in the last round. We barely didn't squeeze it out. The question we missed was, hang on. The question we missed was, what is the first word of the Declaration of Independence? Do you know that?
We.
That's what we said.
No, it's not. That's the Bill of Rights, right?
It's the Constitution. That says we. The yeah. Declaration's first word is when.
And when in the face of human...
When in the course of human events
yeah,
it becomes
right.
necessary, blah, blah, blah. So
when, not
we. Missed that and we got so many tough ones and we missed that one. Anyway, so here's a story. Rewind 1 year.
Uh-huh.
Last year, I was going to trivia a lot with my then roommate, Thomas,
yep.
who just moved to Chicago,
yep.
who I visited this past
yep.
weekend.
Yep. I've been to trivia with you and Thomas, and it's cute and amusing how into it you get.
Okay, so Thomas and his girlfriend, Anne, and I went to this trivia place at Beach Hut Deli in Mission Viejo.
Right.
And we went there because my neighbor worked at Beach Hut Deli. He was a sandwich slinger. So he told us to come visit him at this trivia. So yeah. we went, and it was our first time there.
Yeah.
And I this host who was hosting it, Thomas and I have been poking fun at since we went there. And we only went there one time, and we heard this host talk, and we thought it was so funny that we've been doing impressions of him for 1 year.
And what does he sound like, Tom?
He sounds like a 1960s game show host because he gets on a microphone in front of about 10 people at a sandwich shop mm-hmm. and goes, welcome to trivia. It's time.
It's like a yeah. Simpsons character.
Yeah. It's like, bro, there's 10 people here and we're all right here.
Right.
You can just talk to us.
Yeah, he's not
he's
playing to the audience.
He's the epitome of the hostiest host.
Right.
And I mean, so he'll say, for example, the question example I just gave, what's the first word in the Declaration of Independence? Like, and that's, I promise that's 100% accurate.
Right, all the accents in the wrong places, all the inflections totally Yeah.
It's just like
what's
he
the first
thinks.
Word?
Yeah, he thinks he's on a microphone yeah. and has to talk that way. Mm-hmm. And what's so funny is he'll come up to your table and be like, "Hey guys, what's up?" And just talk normally, like just like a normal guy. Then he'll get on the microphone and he'll transform.
Microphone transforms people.
Transforms people. Mm. So on that particular night, another thing happened. It was election day, and you had to come up with a punny team name. And again, we'd never been there before. We didn't know. What kind of vibe it was. So we came up with what we thought was a hilarious team name, Erection Day. And Andy comes over. His name's Andy. He goes, "Hey, guys, this is hilarious, but I can't say this. It's too edgy." Yeah,
I'm really sorry.
So we were like, okay, whatever. Came up with a different team name. So we had a lot of odd experiences with the man that night, and we did impressions of him for 1 year after that. We still do impressions of him, even though we only met him one time. Last night at Tortilla Republic, guess who the trivia host was?
Well, I'm going to say it must be, hey.
It was Andy.
What up?
I was in utter shock and disbelief that this man, who had such a small part of my life but had become such a staple in my, like, accent window, yeah. Showed up at Tortilla Republic and was the host.
Following you around.
Same thing, small room, five people this time. Welcome to trivia. Okay, bro. Mate, we're right here.
Let's get him in here and get him. He can do a show. We should get him to do a show, like, and because it's the we can play a game where we see where's he going to put the accent now. My name's Andy.
Yeah, it's just you're right. A microphone changes the way people think they should talk.
It's fascinating.
So anyway, Andy's the host of trivia. My life comes full circle, and I will be going weekly to see what he says next.
Yes, I'd like to go. I love those trivia nights. Just never got time to go, but. They're really fun. That's a fun night out, and it's not just drinking or, you know, eating. It's something different to do. I'm impressed by the kind of things that you get up to on your nights off.
Oh, thank you, Jason. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yes. I don't usually, you know, nap in my underwear.
Which is sounds like such a great night.
Speaking of which, Jason tried very hard to write the police blotter last night, right?
Last night. I mean, I went home early to do it. I thought, because I was still sick. I was still feeling a bit sweaty from my stomach flu. And I went home and I thought, I'm really going to do this. I've got 3 hours. If I can knock it out in an hour, I have a couple of hours to maybe have a nap or something. Because it didn't feel that great. 3 hours later. This is how it is, you know, you just never know. I think it was because I was sick. I wasn't in particularly a humorous mood. I was grumpy.
So, let's encore one in a few minutes.
Shall we?
We can do an Only in Laguna file and tell you what's going on in our police blotter today, and then we'll encore one of Jason Fetty's very famous songs about our local crime. Does that sound okay?
That sounds all right. I do feel a bit guilty, and I apologize for letting the whole town down.
Everyone.
For this.
They're going to picket today. They're very upset.
Darn.
This is Daily Scramble Live. Here's new stuff from City and Color. Lover, come back.
Down. Got the blues? Croon the news. Jason sings the police blotter now.
Seriously, if you've got the blues, croon the news.
Makes you feel better.
Right. That's what all the latest technology in psychiatry, that's what they're saying.
This is probably the most feel-good segment we have on Daily Scramble Live.
Really? I think other sections are make me feel quite good.
No, this is the one.
Is it? All right. So there's a news story. It's in the newspaper. It's in the police blotter. Two motorcyclists. It's impossible to tell this story without falling about. Okay, two motorcyclists stop the traffic more than once in the canyon to pop wheelies for the entertainment of people who really didn't want to be entertained. They wanted to get to where they were going.
One motorcyclist would stop traffic from moving.
Right.
And the other motorcyclist would demonstrate a wheelie. That's what happened, right? On the canyon.
That's what happened. One of the motorcyclists would literally stop in the middle of the road, kind of sideways on, perpendicular to the oncoming traffic. And he would have his lights flashing, his emergency lights. And then the other guy would just pop wheelies.
Just so he could do some wheelies.
Right. And then they'd get back on the bikes and go a little further on. They did this three or four times two or three times in the canyon. Till they finally arrived at the bridge of the 73.
Okay.
When the one guy stops, just predictably, and the other guy starts popping wheelies. And then the guy that's popping wheelies, his front wheel hits the ground and he somehow drifts towards his friend, smacks straight into his friend who's waiting on the motorcycle, and they both fall off the bikes, wind up in hospital.
Instant justice.
Instant karma. No charges have been brought. And you know what? The justice system can shrug its shoulder on this one.
I think
it's, you know, whatever. It's justice has been done. That's really the basis of my little song here.
So you wrote a song about it.
It's called Quite the Combo, this song. And it's about that very story. Did you see the circus in the Canyon Road? Like Evel Knievel met with Larry and Moe. Two motorcycles and the riders sojourned. One stopped the traffic while the other performed. Come on, wheelie boys, wheelie boys. Representing everything we're trying to avoid. In the way, you are in the road. You are both dangerous and stupid, and that's quite a combo. Dangerous and stupid, it's quite a combo. Repeated your production maybe two or three times, while the drivers in frustration waited in line for your grand finale. One of you swerved, crashed into your foolish friend, and justice was served. Wheelie boys, wheelie boys, representing everything we are trying to avoid. You're in the way, you're in the road. You are both dangerous and stupid, and it's quite a combo. Dangerous and stupid, and it's quite the combo.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
We did not read this one in the 7 a.m. hour, and now that your children are at school, here's a story. Morrissey is the favorite to win UK Literary Review's 2015 Bad Sex in Fiction Award.
Yep.
The annual ceremony, now in its 23rd year, celebrates the most egregious passage of sexual description in a work of fiction. Mm-hmm. The former Smiths frontman has been nominated for his first novel, List of the Lost. I had no idea Morrissey had a book. It includes a reference to one giggling snowball of full-figured copulation. What?
I don't know, man. He's just such a pretentious prat.
The purpose of the prize is to draw attention to poorly written, perfunctory, or redundant passages. This is the most British sentence I've ever read.
I am never reading this
of
book.
Of sexual description in modern fiction. Past winners of the prize include Melvin Bragg, Norman Mailer, and A.A. Gill. This year's award will be announced at the In-N-Out Club.
Oh, aptly named.
The In-N-Out Club in London.
Well, you know, he's just a pretentious moron. This literary review thing, they draw attention to literature. They make a big deal of it every year. Melvin Bragg is a hugely successful and very erudite writer. I mean, A.A. Gill, very famous. And it was either Norman Mailer, of all people.
Yeah.
But Norman Mailer's written, I mean, he's kind of overblown and pretentious.
This is a satiric award, right?
Yeah, of course it
is. This is in no way serious.
No, it's to draw attention to literature, but they are serious about the particular passages. They're terrible.
I can't believe this is a thing. Bad Sex and Fiction Award.
Yeah, it's to make people interested. It's, well, how are you're not going to get a fiction award in the tabloids, but you'll get, you know, to advertise it or to market it. But if you say we've got a bad, use the word sex, all of a sudden now it's a thing mm-hmm. in the tabloids. So that's why they do it. But Morrissey's been in trouble all year for being pretentious and an idiot.
Well, he just is one.
He scrapped a gig in Iceland because they wouldn't, the vegetarian food wasn't vegetarian enough for
him. He played at the Observatory and there was this band who was really excited to open for him. Man, I wish I could remember this better. And it turns out he was a total ass and canceled or messed with the timing and the band didn't get to go on for how they expect. I mean, he just is so full of himself. I don't remember exactly what it was, but something rude.
Well, it's that kind of behavior with opening acts makes me crazy because I was an opening act for years for some big names. And some of them were wonderfully accommodating. And I remember Neil Young once saying, hey, we've got to get off because the opening act's got a sound check. Because sound checks can go on for hours and hours.
Yeah.
Bands will use it to practice and to rehearse, try new things, do a thing in a different key, whatever. That's how they get to get themselves together and warm up before a gig. But then they've got to leave 20 minutes for the opening act to sound check too. And in a big venue, it's scary.
Sure.
But I've had other acts whose names I won't mention.
Neil Young just got off the stage and let you sound check.
Yeah, I remember hearing him say, we were sitting in the audience watching him, and I remember hearing him say to the band, oh, we got to get off because the opening band got to get on air.
That is pretty cool.
No, it was very nice, and he knew because he wanted the... that's a sign of a guy that's got self-confidence.
Yeah.
Because he's not worried about being upstaged by a bunch of young lads from Leeds.
How's our Neil Young? Pretty good?
I think it's great. I think we sound like Crosby and Stills and Nash.
Together.
Yeah.
Oh, KX93.5 is our radio station. Daily Scramble Live is the show. I think we're having breakfast this morning with Chef Alan Miller.
Oh, that's very
exciting.
I think
that's happening. Coming up.
Here's the sorbet of the day.
I'm very excited. Because I've mined a new seam.
What?
In the internet. I have to mine a seam of sorbets.
And you mined a new seam.
I mined a new seam.
Excellent.
It's a good one. It's a very good one. So if you, like me, are the kind of person that wakes up flustered and obsessing, what we do is we have a quick cerebral sorbet. We call it the sorbet of the day. And it's a cleanser for your mental palate. Or... it's something to wipe the splatter from your grey matter.
It's the windshield wiper for your...
go on. And begin.
Wimbic system.
Wimbic. It's the sponge for your splenium. We do need some new ones of those, though.
It's the squeegee for your... cerebellum.
No. What rhymes with squeegee? That's to do with your brain. No idea. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We can figure that out later. Most importantly, though, this is something that's going to change your... it's going to stop you obsessing over whatever it is you're obsessing over and maybe either give you something new to obsess over or provide you with a clearing, shall we say. A clearing. Do you like the way I say that? Do I sound like someone who's, like, teaching meditation? What we're looking for here is a clearing. Right? You know what I mean. All right. Bit of advice here. Sit calmly. Think no thoughts. And listen to this. Don't waste money on expensive paper shredders. Don't waste money on expensive paper shredders to avoid having your identity stolen. Simply place a few dog turds in the trash bag along with your old bank statements. No one's going to go near that.
That was the sorbet of the day.
There was a lot of build-up to that dog poop sorbet. A lot of build-up.
Yeah, go a little bit over the top. It's funny, though, isn't it? It's a very good idea.
Coming up, Chef Alan Miller in studio. We're going to eat a Thanksgiving-inspired meal for you.
Well, that's a segue. Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble,
Daily Scramble. It's our favorite part of the entire show right now. Jason's already enjoying it. Chef Alan Miller is here for breakfast on the beach. Good morning, Chef. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm so well. And I really hope you enjoy coming here because
I do.
We love you so much.
Thank you.
We really do. Chef Alan Miller makes us food once a month, and usually we keep it seasonal, so that we can give you some tips at home about maybe what you could make around this time of the year. And we make sure you know that he's a private chef for hire and probably for the same price that you could go to a fancy dinner out about town or maybe even less expensive. You can hire this man. He'll come to your house. He'll make you world-class food. And I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to do that. So we'll talk more about that. Great. Hi.
Thank you.
So why don't we, let's dive in here. Jason's already eating it. This is a Thanksgiving-inspired meal.
Yes, it is. I just picked a few of my favorite dishes that I make periodically for Thanksgiving. The first is it's a traditional green bean casserole, but I put my own twist on it and took it to the next level. All fresh ingredients. No canned soup here. Made my own bechamel sauce and added some mushrooms. I used chanterelles and cremini, and I cooked those down and added that, and then of course the fresh haricot vert, which are the French green beans, and then I, instead of the canned fried onions, I just deep fried some fresh leeks, and that gives it a little more caramelized flavor. And yeah, and there you go.
So it's so good, man.
Oh, thank you.
So bechamel sauce, it's one of like the traditional French sauces, right? The one
it is.
That
yes.
you have to know how to make a lot of different things.
Basically, it's just like a roux thickened milk.
Right.
So it's flour and butter.
Creamy, right?
Exactly.
I've had bechamel and I believe croquettes, right?
Yes.
Is that inside croquettes? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very, very good, man. Yeah, because typically you'd have a can of mushroom soup, right?
Right.
You pour it in with some green beans and put it in the oven.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the same. Not the same.
Not the same at all.
If I may interject, gentlemen.
Please, Jason. You've been chewing, so I've not acknowledged your presence.
God, it's really good. And it does. It's not the same. The mushroom soup, casserole, the green bean casserole with the mushroom soup, it's good. Put a crispy onions on the top. Whatever. But it's not the same. This is another level. And that can be a little claggy and it can be a little sort of got a plasticky sort of
right
taste to it. It's canned soup. I mean, how good can it be, really?
Exactly.
At the end of the day. And this is a special day. It's Thanksgiving Day. It's not like, you know, we're just going to do. I think it's. This is amazing. Oh, God, it's amazing.
He caramelized the onions.
I'm stuck for words.
No, I mean, it's really great.
Thank you.
It's really great. And it's creamy and just. And it's. It's the real, real deal.
If we complimented a band who played live as much as we compliment Chef Miller, our whole show would be different.
Yeah, no, I mean? No one would believe us.
No, it's true. But this, I mean, this is really, it's from the heart.
Oh, thank you. And of course, I added some sherry to the mushrooms and cooked
that
down a little
bit. Oh, you did. Right, okay.
So it gives that little flavor and that zing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. Okay, let's move on. What's this pile over here?
The next one is a stuffing that I found in... a newspaper clipping in Boston, and I kind of played around with it over the years, but basically just like a challah bread cubed stuffing with, you know, we have the tradition with the celery and the onion cooked in butter. I took it to another level, added chopped chicken livers,
yeah,
some rosemary, watercress, and finished off a little heavy cream.
Do you know, I had a feel, I knew it felt, it tasted homely.
Yeah, there's like a pate feel.
There's chicken liver in it and challah.
Yeah, can't go wrong.
he plays well to his audience. He knows who he's feeding.
Right, it's very good. It's
Jason
really,
and I both love a good chicken liver.
Oh god, totally.
You know we do. I know you're probably worried.
I was a little worried. Yeah. I'm like, oh, should I do this?
No, we love liver.
We both do.
The liver of virtually any animal, I'm very happy to eat. Frankly, I think I don't really. Like pork liver very much, it's a bit tough. Mm-hmm. But even calf's liver, lightly fried,
mm-hmm.
beautiful. It's very good.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's great.
First time I had
chicken I like to
liver.
Pull it out with my hand out of the cow.
Oh, right.
I like to shove my hand in the side of the cow, pull it out, just rah, the blood running down my face. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. But no, it's delicious. You can barely, it's just good. The liver is just for the flavor of it, right?
Right.
It just gives
right.
it a gamey sort of.
It does.
The taste,
just
that's
a
all.
Little, it gives it a richness.
Because you wouldn't know.
You
don't feel like you're eating pate.
Right.
You feel like you're eating stuffing.
Now, you obviously didn't make this stuffing in a turkey.
No, I did not.
Right.
No.
But that is an option.
A lot, people are doing that a lot less these days.
Yeah.
And the reason being the bacteria level that can, if you don't, you got to cook your turkey longer if it's stuffed. And if it's not stuffed, most people just put aromatics in the cavity, where it could be onions or cut up lemons or herbs. And then the steam just kind of passes through the meat. And, you know, with the stuffing, your turkey is cooking a lot longer and your meat's going to get dried out.
Right, there's two different sets of chemical reactions going on.
So if you want to have that flavor, the turkey, you can take some of the juice and drippings from the turkey mm-hmm. with a baster and just baste it over the top of the stuffing in another dish.
Right.
So you have that flavor. But I recommend doing the stuffing separately, and I like that crispness on the top.
Right.
I usually go for that first.
I'm always impressed at the ability you have to spin something very traditional mm-hmm. into kind of a modern twist, which seems kind of like your thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You take really homey classic foods like a green bean casserole or a stuffing. These are unlike any I've ever tasted.
Oh, thank
you. Far better. Should we do the dessert?
Yes.
All right.
I just want to ask one question.
Yes.
Have you ever done that thing where you stuff one bird with another bird?
Oh, the turducken?
Tofurkin, yeah.
Oh, turducken. That's what that
is. Turducken. I have not done that. It's, I was watching one of the shows on Food Network, and I think it was the turkey, the duck, and a chicken. And then it had a stuffing in that, and then it was rolled back up, tied to look like a turkey. And
really?
I guess they cooked it slowly for like 12 hours. Does that sound right?
Mm.
I mean, that's a long time to cook a bird.
Okay, it is a long time to cook a bird, yeah.
Yeah, if you've got the time and the energy to do or deep fry an entire turkey, I'm like, yeah,
I just don't know.
It
feels inhumane to me to put a bird inside a bird. Inside a bird. Feels weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. And
I knew a guy used to do it in England. It was a surgeon, actually. This guy was
surgeon. So he had a scalpel.
So he knew what to do.
Right.
And he would get
really
a goose.
Gross. Yeah.
Literally get a goose. That's a big bird. And he would shove a turkey in the goose and shove a.
Well, I have deboned an entire turkey once. I think that was my freshman year in college or cooking school. And came home and I just deboned the entire bird. That's what I was doing. I was deboning chickens in my meat cutting class. And I think I did like 30 birds in one class, just like, and I was really good at it. And I haven't done it in a while.
That's interesting. I've never thought like meat cutting 101 as part of cooking school.
And you're in this refrigerated room and it's like, you know, 36 degrees and you got to wear, you know, long underwear on top of your uniform or under your uniform. And and of course, when you're going to the class in January, you're like, oh, it's still cold.
Where did you go to cooking school?
Johnson of Wales in Providence, Rhode Island.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Cool. Yep. I didn't know you were trained.
Yes.
I just thought you figured all this stuff out on your own. All right, let's do the dessert, chef.
Yes, the dessert is it's an apple cheese tort, and it's basically just like a cream cheese, sweetened cream cheese layer, thinly sliced Granny Smith apples, with a little lemon juice and sugar. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just layered those on top and then glazed it with passion fruit jelly.
Wow. This one, I'm speechless.
You make it sound simple.
It is simple.
Am I right, Tyler?
Absolutely.
The crust.
There's no way this is simple.
The crust of this thing is clearly made by a professional.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, buy a crust like this. Oh, my
Betty
God.
Crocker.
Actually, this is a dessert I used to make a lot, and I haven't made it in like over almost 20 years.
Really?
But yeah, and I just
haven't made it in 20 years.
I just haven't made it in 20 years.
You
just
felt inspired.
I came across the recipe and like, oh, okay, this is something different.
Mm. Okay, I'm gonna stop chewing into the microphone and just cry.
I'm not. I'm keeping going,
Chef. We're such big fans of yours, and we thank you very much for doing this. Breakfast on the Beach, ChefAlanMiller.com. Please go to ChefAlanMiller.com. That's where you can find his contact info. You can book him for a private event. He can make this stuff for Thanksgiving in your house, right?
Actually, I'm going to be out of town for Thanksgiving, but yes.
Normally.
Generally.
Normally, I am, yes.
If you live wherever Chef Alan Miller is going, he'll go to your house and cook it. Around Christmas time also, I'm sure you'd love to take private homes. We're such big fans of yours, and I love your food. And I hope people do use you. Again, ChefAlanMiller.com.
Ridiculous. What kind of apples are these?
Granny Smith.
Oh, simple as that, you see.
It is easy.
Yeah.
Chef, thank you.
Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you. And we'll see you hopefully in December for a Christmas meal.
Definitely. I'll be here.
See you then.
Never leave us. Never leave us.